Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It's a podcast about your defending Super Bowl champions. Thank you for listening to the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Enjoy your freedom of speech from the Brando Cash Network. And joining me, as always, is my good buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, hey, hey. We're finally to the week, man. This is great.
You know what? It's Christmas come early for a couple guys, you know, you and me. This is finally the regular season is just what, 2 days away from the time we're recording this? By the time everybody hears this, it will be, you know, a little over 24 hours. So everyone's really psyched, and we're going to talk about this game coming up, the first one of the regular season. But before we get into that, let's just talk about what happened throughout the last week. We had the last preseason game, and of course, we saw a lot of guys come and go from the Ravens this year. But I just want to talk about one guy who really, a lot of people after that fourth game looked like he was going to stay on this team. But my buddy, the Rainmaker, Bobby Rainey, no longer a Raven. He's out the door. So was there anybody that was kind of that surprised you that they didn't make the team?
That one was surprising, indeed, especially how he played in that regular season game. But if you look at the overall scope of things, it's not really surprising at all. The Ravens opted to go with seven wides and two running backs on the depth chart. And a lot of people are like, why is that? Well, if you look at it, the Ravens spread five wide. That's five out of seven. And barring injuries, you're going to need, you know, the pull players in and out as needed. So I'm fine with that. Plus, Ray Rice has been relatively healthy his whole career. He hasn't missed a game. It'd be different, I think, if we had an injury-prone running back like a Ryan Matthews or something like that, to where there's always a case for him to get hurt, and then Bernard Pierce has to step in, and then, you know, Rainey would be the number two. We don't need that. And then there's always a case where we can always resign it back. I mean, we let go of the loan card after we traded for David Reed. So it's kind of like, you know, we still got value for that, you know, back when. But again, it's not really relevant. We're taking the best 53 men we can to Denver, and I'm happy with that. The only surprising cut was that the other one that wasn't too surprising was Tannen Doss. He did play well in the final preseason game, but where was that his whole 2-year career here? You know, he made some incredible catches, but again, too little too late for Tannen. Wish him luck. You wish all these guys luck because, you know, right now they're out of a job and they're looking for one. And as far as I know, your Rain may have found one in Cleveland, believe it or not.
Well, you know what? This guy, he absolutely showed that he was so talented and that he loved this game and that he definitely had the heart of a Raven. You know, he definitely could have been a great player on this team. But we do have Ray Rice. I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, if you're going to have problems as a football team, that's a good one to have. This guy's great, but we also have this really good guy who's also great already on the team and who has already proven himself. So Bobby Rainey, I think if we didn't have Ray Rice, would be on this team, but we have Ray Rice. I mean, that's how it works in the NFL. So, of course, there's going to be a bottleneck there, and you don't want him just sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. I mean, he would be a waste of a spot at that point. So I completely agree with the Ravens letting him go, but I am sad to see him go because he is a great player. He has that embodiment of what a Ravens player should be. He had the heart. He had the determination to get things done on the field. So I understand that. Tannen Doss, I also understand letting him go because he didn't prove himself. I mean, he's had a few years here as a Raven, and he's he talked a lot when he was off the field, didn't do very well when he was on the field. You couldn't really count on him. You could see that Joe Flacco in game three was ticked off. I mean, telling him to go sit on the bench. You know, if you're going to misread the plays and everything and not talk to your quarterback the right way, I mean, you're not going to have a spot on this team. But from what I hear, he apparently trained with the Green Bay Packers earlier today, so he may land on his feet somewhere else as well as Bobby Rainey. But two names that I think a lot of people were talking about in the preseason, no longer with the Ravens, and they've narrowed it down to their 53-man roster. But there is one spot still to talk about before we go into this game, and that's the spot reserved for Dennis Pitta. They have until Tuesday, or they have until Wednesday to get him onto this roster if he's going to play at some point in the year. So they're going to wait until the very last minute to say whether or not there's going to be a spot for him on this team, kind of like what they did with Ray Lewis last year. So he would still be eligible in the playoffs if he were to make it at that point. But they haven't ruled him out for the year just yet.
No, I like that. It kind of gives them flexibility to know and talk to the doctors and Pitta to know where he's at in his recovery, where he's at with the injury, if it is seriously very much season ending, which it is, but is there a possibility for him to come back? Ray's was a little bit different. I mean, this is a certain type of injury. They're both different injuries, but they both had the same impact for the team. So it's interesting to see how it plays out. We'll see. I mean, I'm holding my breath. I really can't wait to see what happens. I hope there's a roster spot for him. I hope that he were to come back in January, and that's our game plan here. But again, you know, it remains to be seen. The Ravens are going to do the right thing. They're going to make the right play when this is all said and done. We have to trust them, and so said this week. And obviously, we trust he's going to do the right thing to make sure and to manipulate the roster, so to speak, and to make room for him if we can do that.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens with Dennis Pitta. If he can be on the field, great. If he can't and they just want to wait him out till next year, I think that's also, you know, the right move, all depending on what the doctors say, because you don't want him to rush this injury and be hurt and re-injure something again. So you really got to be safe, especially with something like a hip, because that really is a unique injury. So, let's see what happens down the road. Again, before we get into this Denver game, I want to talk about this Denver game, but there's so much going on in Ravens world. Josh, I know you caught it last night. I caught it as well. But the America's Game NFL Network show that was on last night, really showcasing the Ravens season last year. They did NFL Films did an amazing job with this special, talking to Joe Flacco and Ray Lewis and John Harbaugh. It really was a great special. I'd seen a lot of that footage before, but having Ray Lewis talk about the game after he got injured and having Sizzle call him and say, "We lost our general, man. Things are falling apart here. We need your back." And Ray Lewis, you know, did his best to get better and then really inspired that team at the end. But what a great show by NFL Films.
Man, it was touching. It was a great way to start opening week for us. Again, if anybody hasn't watched it, obviously the NFL Network will probably re-air it or replay it. You can find it on demand or, you know, whatever cable network provides the services. I'm even going to buy the DVD when it's available. Wow, what a powerful inside look. Flacco, Harbaugh, and Ray Lewis were interviewed for it. And it was just kind of great how to see the inside parts of the year, how the year went, what Ray had to say. And Flacco, I'm going to start off with him. They start off with Flacco. And remember how we used to love to hate Cam Cameron, and we thought about the whole offensive schemes and that? Well, they showed several clips on how Flacco gave it to Cameron and was just like, "We're not going to win the Super Bowl if we keep playing like this." And even Flacco knew, our new general. So there was something at work there, and he went through the perils of, you know, the Ray Rice play, how, you know, he checked it down, and then with the Mile High Miracle, he chucked the ball. So it was just totally different circumstances, both miracle plays, Harbaugh talking about the mutiny, the so-called mutiny that the media portrayed out there, how they had the team meeting and they were just looking at each other and like, "All right, let's get it together." This team was 9-2. They went on 3-game losing streak. They were 9-5. The infamous Flaccoing, where he threw the pick six against Denver when they were knocking on the doorstep on the goal line. And believe it or not, that would have been Flacco's last interception of the whole season and postseason. So it kind of just, these little nuances sparked a run. And Ray going into depth on how he just determined that, you know, the spark that his team needed with the last try, but he's like, when he first said his words, he didn't really realize the impact that he was, wow, this has a lot of weight to it, that he thought he was going to ask for time, or I was going to be happy, and pretty much he thought different. He was shocked at the reaction, that he was just like, wow, people are going to be really affected by this, and let's make it a run, and especially, I mean, I can go on to a lot, but it's just the passion, the emotion. I mean, I went on him. I mean, I was teary. I just watched it, and then Ray Lewis would joke a comment in there, make it lighthearted, and just just the scene of him rallying the troops in the AFC title game and saying, look around, we've been here before. We've been here before. And just to know that in halftime they were looking at each other and saying, we're giving the keys to the offensive flag, it was your game. And he was delivering strike, 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 and standing tall in the pocket. And it's just wow, the whole playoff run from the emotional Colt game and Ray Lewis' last ride and him going on formation in the last play to the dance, breaking down the dance. And actually, I'm going to give this to you, Brandon. Obviously, you've seen it, but for the fans who haven't or if they did see it, one of my favorite parts was when Harbaugh came in 2008 and they were talking about the introduction. And they said that Ray was, you know, okay with leaving it out if it was for the good of the team, but they assessed it, and because it's a rally cry, it's a spark. And you know, I'm just getting goosebumps talking about it. You know full well how that dance sparks Baltimore.
Oh, absolutely.
And it all culminated on that very same day when it wasn't just about him, it was the team, when the team surrounded him. And, you know, I'm very blessed enough to have a picture of that signed by Ray himself, of that very last dance. And it was above me. I had video of it on my phone. I was there in person to see it. And the energized, the electricity that went through you just watching that, and just all, not only 70,000 plus sitting in the stadium, but everybody watching around at Ravens Nation, and just stood still for one moment, and that sparked the playoff run. That sparked the Super Bowl victory run for us, and that was it. And, you know, obviously we'll talk about it in 3-4 weeks when he does the very same dance later this month on the 22nd, because my whole heart believes he'll do it one last time when he's inducted in the Ravens Ring of Honor, but we'll get to that later in the season in a couple weeks. But what America's game it was, it showcased a lot of good moments that we didn't really see when watching the games, and just the emotion of the team. It really, really gripped you, and it charged me up so much to just get ready for this game on Thursday. I mean, we're two sleeps away recording this tonight, and everybody keeps joking with me. They're like, is this like your Christmas week? I mean, like, tomorrow night's going to be like Christmas Eve for me, speaking of Wednesday night. I'm going to be waking up on Thursday, and Brandon, can you agree with me? How great it would be if a Purple Friday, the first regular season edition, we're waking up and we're just smiling at 1-0 on top of the AFC right now before anybody else has played. I would love that. But get the monkey behind us, beat Peyton again, Flacco out, boom, it's going to be a perfect storm for us. But, no, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun indeed, man.
Absolutely. There's two things I want to bring up real quick about America's game before we jump into this.
Yeah, I want to hear your take.
Two of my favorite parts of this show. First one was Ray Lewis talking about the blackout in New Orleans in the stadium, because pretty much he was blaming the NFL for adding that drama to it, because he was like, you have that much money and you have a blackout? Come on, who's hitting that switch? So I found that very funny, where he was pretty much accusing the NFL for putting a little bit more drama than it needed to be in there. And my second favorite part of the show was at the very end, where they talk about Joe Flacco being Joe Flacco and signing the biggest contract in NFL history, and he celebrates by going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. I mean,
you know what? I had a great laugh at that, man. McDonald's in Aberdeen, of all places. Right up the road for me.
So, you know what? I absolutely love this show. It really showcased who the Ravens are. It showcased who Joe is. It showcased who every single player is. I mean, I love the fact that Ray Lewis was included in this, and how they really showed how he drove the team, and how that, like you said, that dance was more than just him coming into the stadium and getting himself pumped up. You saw the entire team watching that entrance for that game. So it really was an amazing scene, and the NFL films did a great job capturing that. And big thing, I got to give a good shout out to our buddy Glenn Clark, who he got showcased with his question to Flacco last offseason.
I texted Nestor, by the way. I said, WNSC on America's Game, how awesome is that? I saw the clip. I'm like, hey, man, I was so excited for our friends at WNSC Radio. So big shout out to them. That was great local exposure, and hey, what better be on NFL Network, man? Broadcasted around the nation. That's our little Baltimore doing its thing, man.
That's right. And that's the thing that Baltimore loves, is that they're always the underdog, no matter what. I mean, Joe Flacco in the last offseason was, Glenn asking, are you an elite quarterback or the elite quarterback in the NFL? And Joe's like, yeah, I think I am. And everybody doubted him. and then he comes back and he wins the Super Bowl and gets this huge contract. And I think that's what makes him just a perfect example of what a Ravens player is, because he loves it. I mean, he's Joe Cool, but he's like, hey, I'm an elite guy. You don't think I'm an elite guy? I'll prove it. And he did. And this is a great segue leading into this Denver game, because right now the Ravens are the underdog coming into Denver. How often does that happen, that the defending Super Bowl champion team is the underdog in the first game of the year? I mean, I don't know if that is something new or whatever, but the Ravens love to be doubted because they love to prove people wrong. And
well, like Terrell Suggs said in America's Game, you know, we're always the bad guys. They look at us and they point at us, and those are the bad guys. Remember that clip? And that Suggs is right. You just said, you know, we're always the underdogs, we're always the villain, and I love it. We're defending Super Bowl champs, Brandon, and no one cares. We're still, 9-7-point underdogs. I don't know what the line is. Who cares? Because I believe in my heart we're going to win. Obviously, you know, do I think we're going to win every game? No. My heart believes it. Oh, this team is 16-0 in the whole thing. But realistically, it's my heart believes it. And we're going to break it down and get into why. And one last thing I want to leave with the America's Game is, I think you were going about a minute ago, you said something, and you were saying, like, how – you know, the season went and the game flowed, but it was something that War Cry was. I kept hearing it throughout the episode. It wasn't pretty, but it was us. And they even said that on the podium of the Super Bowl. You know, Harbaugh knows Ray and goes, you know, and Jeff Flacco even said it. He's like, we don't make it easy, do we? Hey, we never do, man. Whether it's, you know, they touched on it how last year was, you know, for the first like six games or something, they were decided by on last possession. I mean, there was the Browns' last attempt at a Hail Mary on a Thursday night game. The Cowboys had to miss a field goal. We kicked a field goal to beat New England. And other than the Monday night blowout against the Bengals, every game with there and that was almost close. And it was great. It was great drama, great season. And obviously, we'll turn the corner and talk about Denver. 2013 is upon us. And, underdogs, I think with the matchups, Brandon, you think they have a chance?
I think that the Ravens, you know, there's a lot of people that we aren't used to seeing in purple in the Ravens uniform, and I think it's going to take a little bit for the fans to kind of get used to this new team. But here's the thing about Denver is, Denver has a lot of question marks of guys who they can't keep, you know, on the straight and narrow, it seems. Denver has a lot of people that they were counting on at first, but they're getting in too much trouble. But I think what Denver's doing is they're banking on Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning being Peyton Manning. Denver made a good addition to their team by getting Wes Welker, but even he's had some trouble, you know, working with one of the best in the world, Tom Brady. So we'll see how he does with Peyton Manning. But Wes Welker and Peyton Manning are the only two guys I can really see, you know, Denver having a little bit of trouble, or having Baltimore a little bit of trouble against Denver. But for me, their team is a big question mark, because these guys, some of them, aren't going to be there. They've got so many injuries and suspensions to worry about.
Absolutely. I mean, if you break it really down to the nitty-gritty, the Denver Broncos lost the best tandem pass rushing last year. They led the league in the sacks, Elvis Dumervil, Von Miller. We got Elvis, and Von Miller suspended. So, and Camp Bailey's been in a boot. He's a question mark at best, and even if he does play, he's not going to be effective. Marlon Brown and Torrey Smith are going to run right by him. I mean, Torrey Smith schooled him last year in the playoffs on two touchdowns, and that was a healthy Cam Bailey. So this is why I'm kind of, even my pick and pulls, I'm leaning towards picking the Ravens, is because, and I would pick the Ravens for this game because merely matchups. I think Flacco, you know, has what it takes to duel against Peyton, and I think the offenses are going to be evenly matched. I mean, people think I'm crazy, but I don't care. It's my opinion. It's going to come to the defensive play, and the Ravens boast the best defense right now of this game. So I'm sticking by my guns. I'm going to let my prediction out early. I'm going to say a 24-20 win for the Ravens, and that's merely why. I think it's going to be a last-second defensive stand, and that's where it's going to be. It's going to be a close, contested game, not high-scoring as the AFC divisional playoff game called for, but hey, you know, obviously I might be wrong, might be right, but it's going to come down to, can the offensive line of Denver stopped him, Ravel Suggs, and the rest of the defensive pass rush. Darryl Smith's going to be up in his grill. Olivier Knott is a force to be reckoned with. Courtney Upshaw is down there, and I have to feel for our Jones. He came down with an undisclosed personal illness. We wish him well. Did tweet him out this week, and we're going to miss him in there. Hopefully it's not going to be a big gap as we think in that defense, and we have 10 days to the home opener, so. Yeah, well, Art, we're going to miss you, bud, on the offensive or defensive line, I should say. My apologies, and that's the really matchup I want to look out for. Can our pass rush get to Peyton Manning? Is the key matchup in this game right now?
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing, but I'm not worried about that at all. I have all the confidence in the world that they're going to get to Peyton Manning. You've got Terrell Suggs, and you've got Elvis Dumervil. I mean, these guys are going to just be a wrecking crew. I mean, I want to start calling them Demolition or something, because these guys are just going to be like Axe and Smash back in the old 80s WWF days. These guys are just going to run wild over these guys. I mean, those guys working together is there's no question how talented they're going to be, and add Courtney Upshaw into that mix. And man, I would, if I was Peyton Manning, I would be scared. I would guard my neck, because you know that neck is still I'd worry about it after that big surgery he had a year or two ago. Yeah, I'm not worried about that at all. The offense, I was very impressed with Joe Flacco and Brandon Stokley in week 3 of the preseason, so I think they're going to do very well. My big question mark on the offense is Dallas Clark. Dallas Clark did not impress in any way on week 3. He dropped every single pass he had, and that was why I was surprised Vasante Shenko got let go and Dallas Clark stayed, because I wasn't impressed at all with Dallas Clark. So for me, the offensive question mark is Dallas Clark. I have all the confidence in the world that Joe's going to be able to be Joe and get things done. Ray Rice, I think, is going to do what Ray Rice has to do. Vonte Leach, he's still in the offense. We didn't lose him after the Super Bowl. Well, we did, but we got him back, which is a great addition. And Torrey Smith, Jacoby Jones, I think those guys are going to do just fine. I mean, I think especially Jacoby Jones, he showed that he can play in Denver. That altitude isn't going to bother him. So I'm very confident this team is going to do well. Do I think it's going to be a blowout like it was last year against, Cleveland, I believe, or was it Cincinnati, the first game?
Cleveland was a close one.
Was Cincinnati.
Cleveland was a 7-point win. That was because of Kerry Williams' pick 6.
Right. So, yeah, the first game last year, I mean, you remember that. And I remember this specifically, where they went up to the reporters went up to Joe after the game, and they're like, do you remember when this happened with them? And he was like, what touchdown was that? And, when you have that many touchdowns, that's a good thing. So I have all the confidence in the world, but I think this is going to be a good game. This is going to be a game that we'll be talking about at the end of the season, I think, as one of the true tests. I think it's great to get one of these big tests right in week 1. I think this is going to be something that this team will look back on throughout the season and go, this is what we need to improve on, this is what we did well. So I think this is going to be a great game as a fan to watch. It's going to be a great game all around, really, for all this to go on. But I have all the confidence in the world. These guys are going to be able to get the job done.
Absolutely. I think the job will be get done. One and there's the target. And just thinking about the game, the impact game, if they don't lose this game, it's not the end of the world, because I'd rather get one or two losses out early, not late. Last year there was losses late that could have impacted us for the playoffs. We had to win one out of the last two games. We had to beat the Giants and get in. So, cause for drama, again, one of those is going to be sitting pretty. It would be great, to see the rest of the league play on Sunday and Monday and know that we're 1-0, we knocked off the favorite in AFC once again. And everybody's going to be talking about the defending chance went in and did work again. Road, home game, it doesn't matter. We're going to win. Again, but 0-1 isn't a big deal. It's going to suck, but it's not a big deal. We're going to make it a big deal and jump off the bridge. And, oh, my God, season's over. They're not really fans anyway. They just don't know what they're talking about. Calm down. I mean, it's going to be okay, because you figure the next two home games are Browns and Texans. Just the Browns home opener, the home opener in motion, we should win that game, just pure emotion and home opener. And it's the Browns. I mean, the Browns can be tough. Can't write them off. And I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but then you also look at the Texans game with Ray coming back in the induction hall thing. You look at, okay, if we start 0-1, we could easily be 2-1 after week 3. So that was awesome. And, hey, we could be 3-0 if we win Thursday night. So, you got to look at the silver lining and things and do take it week by week. Right now it's Denver. Right now they're our opponent. Thursday night, September 5th, it's 8:30. It's going to be raucous. Got the new Sunday Night Football team with Carrie Underwood. They actually saw a preview. I don't know if you saw the preview of the introduction for the game, but it sucks in Peyton Manning, and there's a cloud over the stadium, and it's basically like a storm is brewing, and it's a pretty good intro, so I really can't wait to fire it up, and man, I'm so charged up right now just thinking about it. I mean, the buzz around this town, everybody's like three sleeps, two sleeps away. I get this. The guy we have season tickets with, Brandon,
yeah.
He texted me at some point today, and he said it's 54 and a half hours till kickoff. He's right on point, man. So that's just the kind of taste that you're going to get down at the tailgate lots, that the passion that we're going to be involved with the home opener. So we have passionate fans in this town, and, you know, I've heard stories this week of, you know, fans and friends of mine arguing with Pittsburgh fans, and they were saying, man, you guys are passionate around here. We are. And it's where we bring it. We bring it very well. That's why they call it Purple Passion, because we really bring it. And special on Purple Friday, special on game day Sundays and Thursdays and Mondays, whenever we play. I really can't wait to get after it. This 2013 campaign can't come soon enough. We've been talking it up. We've been running through four preseason games, endless shows, and now we're here to start season two. Oh, I can't freaking wait. I really can't. It's almost, you know, we've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Well, we've been waiting all summer for Thursday night, so it's upon us. And it's almost like I don't even know what else to say. I'm so excited. Let's just fly out and play football. I mean, now it's the real deal. We got no question marks, no sitting stars. They're going to play, and we're going to see it. We're going to answer the questions. Is Joe Flacco worth the money? Everybody keeps asking that. Is he worth the paycheck? I say yes, because, you know, to get on that a little bit and talk about the Super Bowl MVP, I wanted to get this out there. If you look at the mess the New York Jets have, do you want Joe Flacco paid $120 million, or do you want the Jets having five quarterbacks on their roster? I mean, you almost get what you pay for. In this league, it's a pass-happy league. It's a quarterback-driven league. Obviously, with a Super Bowl win and an MVP under the belt, you have to pay them. I mean, the Ravens took a gamble and they lost. You got to pay. They paid. In this league, you got to pay for your quarterback. You got to pay to keep. I mean, the Colts showed that. I mean, the Colts are an exceptional rule because they had the first overall pick and picked Andrew Luck. You can't get that lucky every time because they took a chance to not pay Peyton Manning his dues, and because they want to overpay for an old quarterback coming out of surgery where the Broncos wanted to, and obviously it's worked out for them so far. It's Peyton Manning. And we're reaping the benefit, or now I want to say the benefits of that, but we have to play them. So, but we beat them, and we'll beat them again. And they drafted Andrew Luck with the Colts. So it's just, you got to look at it. You have to shell out the money, and you have to take care of your offense. And Flacco's the general now. It's his offense. He's the leader. He's been vocal, as you've seen with Tannen Dawson in the preseason. He's been vocal with America's team and spatting out with the camera. And like, we're not going to work if this keeps up. So, I mean, Flacco's, you know, more outspoken than some. I think it's just more behind the scenes. And I really like that about our quarterback. And I just love how he just runs out of tunnel. You know, Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco, he just runs out of there and he's going to work. And, you know, it'll be an away game, but we're going to welcome him home in a few weeks for the next two home games. And, man, Brandon, Thursday can't get here soon enough. That's all I got to say.
I know you're excited. I'm not excited about, you know, going through a whole work day waiting for this game to start.
Oh, my God, man. Me.
I hope everyone at work realizes that my mind's going to be elsewhere that day. It's going to be in Denver with everybody else. This is going to be a hostile crowd in Denver for the Ravens. And, of course, the Ravens, we just talked about it the entire time, they're going to enjoy it. They're going to love it. Terrell Suggs, man, he loves playing with these guys. I mean, if you remember, if you bought the DVD about the road to the Super Bowl for the Ravens, they had Terrell Suggs jawing off to the crowds. And he was actually, after the game, he was like, y'all should have kept Tebow. See what happens? You should have kept Tebow. And even though that's a joke, I understand you go after Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning got Denver to the exact same spot that Tim Tebow did 2 years ago. So just something to think about there with you know, the great Peyton Manning. But the Ravens proved last year what they can do. They beat Peyton Manning. They beat Tom Brady to get to the Super Bowl. Two of the best playing quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, two of the best right now, but two of the best ever you know, in the history of this game. So to beat those two guys and go to the Super Bowl and then win it really shows what this team can do. And I think that – I don't think that the team is coming in overconfident. I think that they know what they have to do, and I think that they know that they're the defending champions. They want to defend it and win it again. They aren't just going to sit back and go, well, we got it once. I think we're done now. They're going to fight, and they're gonna do what they got to do. Denver has already proven that they are a very hostile city, and they are still ticked off about what happened last year with the Ravens. I mean, the fact that Joe Flacco's face is on their stadium, they are pissed about that. They're doing petitions to get his face taken down. But hey, it's not like it's only his face up there. You know, it's for the start of the season, okay? I would get ticked off, too, if they put, like, Ben Roethlisberger's face down on the M&T Bank Stadium. I understand what you're ticked off about, and that the Ravens went in and played better than your team and won the game. But it went into overtime. The teams had a great game. But this is a new season. Everyone's got new expectations. And Denver's still trying to get where the Ravens were last year. The Ravens proved they can get there. They'll get there again. This is going to be a great, hard-fought game. You gave your prediction for the score. I kind of agree with you. I think it's going to be a very close game. And I'm not going to give you a score. You know what? This is something new. I just thought of this. We're going to do this for this season. You're going to give the score for your prediction for each game. I'm going to give my prediction on who's going to have the big play of the game. And
Good angle.
See, I think that's something new and that's something fun. You're saying it's going to be close. I'm going to say it's close as well. I'm going to say that Justin Tucker is the deciding factor of this game. I think Justin Tucker is going to be the one that they're calling on in the last few seconds, and it's going to all come down to a field goal. I think yes, absolutely.
I love it.
And I have all the confidence in the world that Justin Tucker can get the job done, will get the job done. There's my prediction for the big playmaker of this game. So, hey, new feature, right on the fly. Just thought of it. I like it. So this is a good episode. Is there anything that we missed in this episode?
I would say not a chance, but before I get to not a chance, I'm going to bring up one more thing, Brandon. Something I read today at work, and it motivated me to say this. You know how it's something horrible, and Emerson Merrill echoed, and I wanted to share this. I think it's going to set the table for the season. When Harbaugh came here, it was a war cry he preached. The team, the team, the team. And when Elvis Duvall came here, it was the team, the team, the team. Speaking of team, I read this acronym today. Team stood for tough, energetic, aggressive motivators. And I thought that was, I think that fits the definition of play like a Raven. And that's what the team's about. You know, Ravens are tough. They're also energetic. Ravens are definitely aggressive, and we're motivated. We're always motivated. So I think that could be our own personal stamp on the war cry for the Ravens, and that's what I'm going to leave it with. And with that, there's not a chance there's anything else except beating Denver on Thursday night.
That's right. We're all counting down. Can't wait. Baltimore versus Denver. We're both saying Baltimore is going to win this game. You know what? I hope you're with us, man. I hope everybody out there listening thinks that the Ravens are going to win, because I have all the confidence in the world. Josh, you got all the confidence in the world that these guys are going to do well against Denver. This is it. This is the regular season. It's going to start this week. We're going to have some great shows coming up. There's going to be a lot of fun games to talk about. Of course, follow along with us on Twitter throughout the week. After you listen to this show, if you're a fan, you want to let us know how much you enjoyed it, let us know. Tweet to me, @BrandoCash. Josh, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you at?
They can always find me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. If you're a fan of the show and you want to like us over on Facebook, you can do that. Just go to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the Brando Cash Network. You'll find out about this show and all the other shows in the Brando Cash Network. What is going on with all the different shows. You get all the information right there. I don't know how you're listening to the show. There's many ways you can do it. Go over to iTunes and click subscribe. That way, whenever we have a new show come out, it will will get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes and download the podcast app on your iOS device, whether it be an iPad, iPod Touch, iPhone, and you can subscribe to the call straight onto your phone. That way you don't have to hook it up to your computer anymore to get the newest episode or get downloaded straight to your device. Now, if you're on an Android phone or a tablet, anything like that, download the Stitcher Radio app. It's on-demand radio straight into your device. It streams. All you have to do is download Stitcher and then look for the call podcast and then click and make sure it's one of your favorite stations. Every time a new episode comes out, automatically available right there for you. So make sure you're listening either or Stitcher or iTunes, or do both. That's what I do, just so we can get some more numbers for us. Now, if you do like the show, you got to let people know about it, man. Let them know on social media. Let them know on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, every single thing, on Instagram as well. Let them know that you're a fan of the call and that they should be too, because everyone in Ravens Nation loves to hear about the Ravens and the Super Bowl champion team. So let everybody know that way, or you can text them, you can email them, you can just tell somebody face to face that they should listen to it, or just steal their phone and download one of those apps and then make sure they're subscribed to the call. And if they're, you know, they're not very good with technology, they won't know how to get rid of it. So it's just more numbers for us anyway. So let people know about it. If you are listening on iTunes, write us a review on iTunes, and it kind of helps us get a little bit more recognized by the iTunes community. So thank you so much for listening. Josh, you know what to do. Start of the regular season, man. Send us off the right way.
I will send us off in the right way possible. Regular season upon us. Here it is. It's so glorious. I cannot wait. We're going to welcome the Ravens back on Purple Friday with a Ravens victory. Warcry is 1-0. We're looking for it. Revenge? We don't need revenges. We're going to go back and duplicate what we just did a little less than a year ago. Can't wait. Regular season. Let's go. Baltimore Ravens, fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.